text for this morning is taken from Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And let me read for you verses 21 to 23. Book of Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 21 through 23. And the topic for the sermon this morning is insurance or assurance. Hebrews 10, 21 to 23. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. In this life that we live, there are many dangers, there are many uncertainties. And sometimes we can get very scared and very worried, you know, as we read the newspapers of wars and rumors of wars, all kinds of threats to the nations and in society. And even in our own lives, we are constantly under threat. We can get sick. We can contract a serious disease. We can meet with accidents, and death can befall us at any moment. And through all these things, how do we respond? How do we protect ourselves? Well, many may seek protection from such misfortunes and catastrophes in life by buying insurance. Whether it be health insurance, or home insurance, or car insurance, or life insurance, or whatever kind of insurance that is available out there. I'm sure we are familiar with insurance policies. I wonder whether you have your own insurance policies or not. I think many of us have. Some are required, compulsory. Like the car insurance, you need to get a car insurance if you want to drive in Singapore. A home insurance is necessary. Health insurance. We have all kinds of insurance plans and policies to protect us from any misfortune that can happen in our lives. But although we may take up many of these insurance schemes and policies, these insurance plans may protect us to a certain degree, to a certain extent. But can they really protect us from death? There is no insurance plan on earth that can protect us from dying. Is there any such insurance plan? There's none. And what we are really interested in is to make sure that we do not die, isn't it? Many of us may take a life insurance plan. But that insurance plan cannot prevent us from dying. In fact, such insurance plans, a life insurance, can only come into effect when we die. And even when we die, we do not collect. We are not the ones to collect. Our next of kin will collect. We want to make sure that there is such an insurance plan that will prevent us from dying. Our life here on earth is only temporary. It will last for a while, and it is not the only life that we will live. There is another life, a life hereafter, a life after death. Have we made sure about life after death, that we will live forever and live forever in the right place and not in the wrong place? For after we die, there are only two destinations, either heaven or hell. Where are we heading? Where is our home? We can insure our homes on earth, but how about insurance of our home in the life hereafter? And please don't be mistaken. Please don't think that after we die, we can hope that our family members will burn paper houses, paper money for us, and think that we will inherit all these possessions in the life hereafter. It will not happen. All the paper money, all the paper houses that are burned in Chinese funerals go up into thin air, turn into ashes, and will not be transformed or translated into tangible things in the life hereafter. That is the deception that is out there. What is the truth? The truth here is in God's Word. God's Word is truth. God tells us how we can make sure of the life hereafter. Where we will be, what we will receive. We want to guarantee ourselves that we will live forever without end. How to do this? How to do this? That's why the insurance of man cannot be blessed insurance. And that's why we don't sing blessed insurance, we sing blessed assurance. We want to have assurance. Not just insurance, we need assurance. And where does this assurance come from? Man sells insurance, but God gives assurance. Man sells insurance, but God gives assurance. And this is what I want to assure you from God's Word this morning. We want to make sure of our salvation. Those of us who are already believers, are you sure of your salvation? Those of us who are still not believers, still outside of Christ, are you sure that when you die, you will be in heaven? Can you be sure? How to be sure that when we die, we will get into heaven? The Bible can give us this assurance. Christ can give us this assurance. And in order to have such an assurance, in order for God to give such assurance that when we die, we can have eternal life and we'll be in heaven, He had to come down from heaven to earth. This was what happened 2,000 years ago when the Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men might become the sons of God. John Calvin said, God became man, Emmanuel, God with us. And every year, in the Christmas season, we are reminded of this truth, of this fact. And no one in the whole wide world and no historian will ever deny that there was this historical event, that Christ was born in this world, born in the city of Bethlehem, that there was this historical figure called Jesus Christ. And the whole of human history is founded on Him. And that's why we have, even in our dating system, we have BC and AD. BC meaning before Christ. AD meaning in the year of the Lord. Anno Domini, in the year of the Lord. Everything is centered on this one important person in history, Jesus Christ. And we may know many people in the world, even important people, very important people, but make sure you know this person of all people, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God Himself, who became man, born of the Virgin Mary. And in Matthew chapter 1:23, we are told, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And that's why we can have assurance, because God has come down to earth to reveal Himself to us. He has revealed all of Himself to us, and we see Him clearly in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we can have this assurance that there is a living and true God. Please don't be an atheist. Please don't say there is no God. There is a God. And if we say that there is no God, God says we are fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Why? Not only because the Bible tells us that God exists. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Not only did Jesus come down into this world and lived amongst us, and no one historically will deny this. It is a fact. But in the innermost recesses of our heart and our minds, our conscience, because we are made in the image of God, we know that there is this Creator. We know that there is this God. We know that there is a judgment to come. There is a moral sense within us because we are made in the image of God. And if we deny that God exists, we are truly fools because we have this knowledge and we tell ourselves no such thing. We know this truth and yet deny it. That is very foolish. So all of us know that God exists, but we must make sure we believe in the right God. For there's only one living and true God and no other. The world is in a very confused state because there are so many gods. There are gods made with wood and metal and clay and all kinds of things. But who is the living and true God? The Bible tells us who He is. He's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so He has come down. He has revealed Himself. And the Lord Jesus Christ was both God and man in one person. Our great high priest, and not only our priest, but He was also our sacrifice. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel needed priests to offer sacrifices on behalf of the people of Israel. And even the priests in the Old Testament needed a sacrifice for their own sins. But here we have the Lord Jesus Christ, not only our great high priest, but He is the Lamb of God Himself. The sinless Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He is not only the high priest, our great high priest, he is also our perfect sacrifice. He died for our sins. And so to save us from our sins, He was crucified on the cross. He shed His precious blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. His blood must be shed. He shed His blood so that we might have the forgiveness of sins. And He truly died on the cross. And He was buried. And then on the third day, He rose from the dead, conquering death. The only one who can give us assurance of life is someone who has conquered death. That's why no man on earth can ensure you from dying, for living forever. Because no one can. No one has the power over death. No man has. Only this God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was 100% man, died on a cross, rose from the dead, proving He's 100% God also. And He has that power of life, life over death, because He Himself rose from the dead. And He can give us this 100% guarantee that if we believe on Him, we will not die. And that's why in Hebrews chapter 10, it tells us that we need to draw near to God. Because God has drawn nigh unto us. He has come down to earth. He walked amongst us. He talked with us. He lived with us. He ate with us. He drank with us. And how He suffered for us. And we, by wicked hands, have crucified Him on the cross. And the same people who crucified Him on the cross, we ourselves, He was the one up there who would save us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is the Savior of the world. Anyone like this? Such great love? Such infinite love no man can display but God. And that's why this is one proof that Jesus Christ is truly God Himself, who became man. And so let us draw near. Draw near to God. God wants us to draw near to Him, to have fellowship with Him, to be reconciled to Him, and to live with Him forever in heaven. God wants us to draw near to Him. Don't you want to draw near to God? And the very reason that you're here in church today shows that you have this desire to want to draw near to God. And that is good. Keep drawing near to God. And there may be those here who have not yet believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, but you are here because you want to hear the truth. And now the truth is preached to you. Draw near to God. For Jesus had come to give us life, to give us more abundantly. You know, the whole in the world, the different religions of the world, all of them basically talk about how man can reach God. They teach us to do good things, do good works, and if we are good enough, at the end, we may become God, or we may reach God. All religions teach that, except Christianity. Christianity talks about God reaching man, instead of man reaching God. Man cannot reach God. You can jump, you can be a, you know, Olympic record holder in high jump, or pole vaulter. You can never jump high enough to enter into heaven. We have no strength to do it. Heaven is so far away, so high up. We have no strength to reach heaven. Only God has the power to come down to earth, to reach us, and to save us. And that's why Matthew 18:11 says, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." We are lost. Lost people. Totally undone. Condemned. Hopeless. It is God who has come down to give us hope. We need to draw near to God. How to draw near to God? Well, it tells us here in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 22, we have to draw near to God with a true heart. With a true heart. And what is this true heart? A true heart is a heart that is regenerated. In other words, it is a heart that is born again, spiritually revived, and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We must draw near to God with a true heart. How many of us here want to see God? Don't you want to see God? Sometimes we may say, okay, I will believe in God only if He appears to me and if only I can see Him, then I'll believe. You can do that. You want to see God? You can. I also want to see God. How to see Him? The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us in Matthew 5 verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You must have a true heart. You must have a pure heart. Then you can see God. Then you shall see Him. Do we have a true heart? Do we have a pure heart? I think all of us know that we are all guilty of sin. We are guilty of breaking God's commandments. Yes, we may be good citizens on earth. We may not have committed any crime that would send us to jail. We are not in jail right now. We are not criminals in the sight of man. That is true. But how about in the sight of God? In the sight of God, all of us are criminals, spiritually speaking. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have committed many crimes against God. We may not have committed any murder, but if we have hated someone in our hearts before, if we have hatred in our hearts, we have already broken that commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." That is God's standard. We have sinned. We are not pure in our heart. And if we want to see God, we must be pure in heart. Who can be pure in heart? No one can. Who can wash away all my sins? Can you or I wash away our very own sins? We can't. No matter how much detergent you use, no amount of detergent, the most powerful detergent on earth, can never wash away the stain of sin that is in our hearts. Can wash away all kinds of stains from our clothes, but how about the sinful stain in our hearts? No one can wash away, but only one, the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood, His powerful blood, can wash away all our sins. So the only way whereby our sinful heart can become pure, can become a true heart, a pure and holy heart, is that our hearts must be washed and cleansed by the gospel and the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why in Hebrews 10:22 we are told, this true heart is a heart that has been sprinkled or cleansed. In the Old Testament, when the temple instruments are being cleansed, it is cleansed by the sprinkling of blood. We must be sprinkled and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We must be sprinkled clean from an evil conscience by the blood of Christ, and our whole spiritual being must be washed by the pure water of the Word of God. And when we go through this cleansing process and we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are born again, then we will see God. We do not see in order to believe. We believe in order to see. That is the Christian way. And when we become born again, born into God's family, then we will have ready access to Him. Then we will see Him. Then we can have fellowship with Him. Then we will know Him, who our God is. He becomes our Heavenly Father. You know, just like you who are parents, and we who are children are born into the family, and your children have very easy access to you, parents, to father and mother. They live with you. They have easy access to you. They see you. They know you. Children can call on their parents at any time. And for us to have this access to God, to have fellowship with Him, to know Him, to see Him, we must be born again, born into His family, bear His surname, the name of Christ. Then we have easy access. Then we can see Him. Then we will know Him, for we will have His nature. Our children also bear our resemblance, bear our image. People say Mian looks like me, well, and Mailin looks like the mother. Well, that may be true. I hope they are not disappointed. When we are born again, we will bear the resemblance of our Savior, of Christ. We become Christ-like, and we'll become more and more Christ-like each day. And we will have, and the image of God within us, we'll become more and more like our Heavenly Father in holiness, in justice, in goodness, in truth. You see, we'll bear that resemblance. You're born in His family. And of course, such a resemblance that we have, a likeness, is something that will not disappoint. It is something good, something to be treasured, something to pursue after until the end of our life. Are we in such a state? Do we have such a heart, a true heart, a pure heart, a Christ-like heart, a holy heart, washed and cleansed by the blood of Christ and by the gospel of Jesus Christ? Dear friends, please walk in the light of the gospel. 1 John chapter 1, 7 to 10 tells us, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we say we have no sin, We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Do we confess our sins? I pray we all confess our sins. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And once we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is given to us, indwells us, and gives us this blessed assurance that we belong to Christ and to God forever. Once we become God's children, once we are born into His family, we can never be disowned by Him. You see, God has promised, He is not a liar. He doesn't change His mind. He doesn't change His word. He is faithful, that promise. Once He has saved us, He will save us to the very end. He has promised us eternal life if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And once we believe on Him, we are given this free gift of eternal life, and that can never be taken away from us. God assures us of this, 100% guaranteed, without any expiry. Insurance can have an expiry date, right? As long as you will pay, right? That policy. But this policy that God gives to us, this assurance policy, is free of charge. We don't have to pay a single cent. All paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, by His blood, by His death, by His resurrection, by the life that He lived on this earth. All paid for in full. We believe it is given to us freely, and it will last forever, without end. That's why it's blessed assurance, not blessed insurance. This is truly a life assurance. It comes from God. Guaranteed for life. But take note that this assurance is not by works, by our good works, but purely by the grace of God through faith, not works. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Titus 3:5-7. And then Galatians 2:16 tells us, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no man or no flesh be justified. By the works of the law, the Ten Commandments, only show how filthy, how wretched, how condemned, how guilty we are. Cannot save us. The Ten Commandments do not show how good, how righteous, how holy we are. Shows how bad we are, how evil we are, how wicked we are. And if we will ask the question, who can save me from my own wickedness and evil and sin, my condemned state, then you're a step nearer to the kingdom of God. And the answer is here. Only by faith, believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, can we be saved. Can we be reborn, born again into His family, and have our sins forgiven. So let us not trust in our own strengths. Let us not trust in our personality. Oh, I'm quite a charming personality. I'm quite good, you know, on my own. I'm quite popular. Please, let us not trust in our intellect. I'm quite clever. I think I can, with my wisdom, I can find my way to heaven. All the philosophers in this world tried to do that. They may come near to the truth, but they can never get the bullseye to know the truth. It's somewhere out there, but I don't know where. There is this truth, this God out there, but I don't know where. Our human mind can never get to the point. You cannot use philosophy. Philosophy will not lead us to the truth, to the right exact point. It is theology. The knowledge of God, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. Then we will know precisely, it will hit the bullseye. Who is this God? Where is He? What is His identity? Philosophies, all the philosophies of the world. Yes, there's this general target. They may hit here and there, but they can never get at the bullseye. Only theology. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Please don't think that we can use our intellect, our reasoning powers, our wealth, our talents, our industry, our philanthropy, our giving to charity, all these things will help me to get into heaven. And that God will find them very acceptable. God tells us in the scriptures, our good works are not good at all. To Him they are as filthy rags. Isaiah 64 tells us, Isaiah 64 verse 6, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our unrighteousness, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Just like, you know, in the Olympic Games that are now on, everyone wants to run and compete to win the gold medal. And we as human beings are wanting to run this race too, run towards the finish line to heaven. But the Bible tells us, God tells us, we may all run, and we can run with all our might. We will never cross the finishing line. We can never arrive at the final destination because we are all disqualified in the first place. Olympic athletes or any athlete who cheat, who take drugs to enhance their performance, are already disqualified before the race begins. In the same way, all of us already disqualified. Right at the outset, at the starting line. Don't even talk about getting to the starting line. We cannot even participate in this race. For we are all born in sin. Sin right from the first day of our existence, even in our mother's womb. The only one who can save us is the Lord Jesus Christ. So take note of this. And that's why it is only by faith that we can be saved, not by works. We are all disqualified already. Someone must run the race for us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has won that race. And if we want to win the prize, we must belong to Him. So let us make peace with God. Do you believe in God? Well, that's good. But Jesus says, don't stop there. Believe also in Him. John 14, 1-6 tells us, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, dear friends, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Full assurance can only come by means of faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, our all-complete Savior, who will lead us to the living and true God who created heaven and earth, and this living and true God will be our Heavenly Father, who will take care of all our needs, spiritual and physical, until the end of this age. And so this word is near us. Let us draw near to God. And the word is near us. And that's why Romans 10:8-9 says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. As simple as that. Won't you believe? Please do not delay. Believe in Christ today, because we do not know when our life will end, when this world will end, when Christ will return. And when these things happen, it will be too late. Now there is still time. So let us not delay, but believe in Christ today. Not blessed assurance, but make sure you have this. You have blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for this blessed assurance in Christ that comes by way of faith in him. Continue to assure us, Lord, in difficult times. Sometimes we doubt thee, even though we be thy children. Grant us great faith to always believe on thee and thy good work for us. And for those here still not knowing Christ, we pray, O Lord, they might believe in thee and have this blessed assurance of not only abundant life here on earth, but eternal life hereafter. For Jesus, the only way, the only truth, and the only life. In his name we pray. Amen.